Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow followers of Christ. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Mark chapter 1. We read verses 14 through 20. After John, that's referring to John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. "The time is fulfilled," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel." As Jesus was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat mending the nets. Immediately, Jesus called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. When you hear the term follower, what comes to mind? The term follower, used in our day, probably brings to most people's minds thoughts of social media. How many followers do you have? It's important to a lot of people how many followers they have, the people that they follow. Having a ton of followers is a sign of popularity, of influence. It can even make you a lot of money. Do you happen to know who is the most followed person in the world on social media right now? If you collected all the social media sites together and found out who is the most followed person on the planet, do you know who it is? Anyone want to take a guess? If you're reading the sermon copy, I give my guess. Go ahead, Dan. Taylor Swift. That was my guess too, Taylor Swift. She's way down at number 4. She only has 533 million followers across all social media platforms. No, the number one by quite a large margin is Cristiano Ronaldo. He's a soccer star, so he has a very international appeal. He has a whopping 894 million followers. That is an astounding number, especially since he beats Taylor Swift by like 300 some million followers. That's almost a billion followers. But that pales in comparison to the one who has had the most followers in history by a long shot. And it has nothing to do with social media at all. I'm, of course, speaking of Jesus, the one who called his first disciples in our text and still calls out to us in his word, "Come, follow me." In fact, that's what the word disciple means. It means follower. So are you a follower, a disciple of Jesus? We all profess to be. We all profess to be followers, disciples of Jesus. You just confessed your faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit again just a few moments ago. But how do you and I know that we are followers of Jesus? Well, to answer that question, I'm going to turn our attention away from ourselves, look outside of ourselves, and actually look to someone else, to look again to Jesus, the one we are following. And I ask you to take a look at the words that we just read from our text and answer this question for me. Who was the one who was making the disciples, making the followers in our text? Was it John, James, Andrew, or Simon Peter that made themselves followers of Jesus? The answer is pretty clear, isn't it? It was Jesus who made them followers. He was the one who went through the region of Galilee preaching the gospel. He was the one who went out and sought these fishermen at the Sea of Galilee that day. Jesus was the one who called out to them, "Come, follow me." And he was the one who said, "I will make you fishers of men." And that's exactly what Jesus did for these men, as you can read for yourselves in the rest of the Gospels and also in the book of Acts. In the same way, Jesus has called you and me in his word, "Come, follow me. No, probably he didn't call us while we were fishing like these four men, but in the same way, Jesus uses his word to call us and to make us his followers. If we look again at our text, we see the message that Jesus was preaching to the people of Galilee, including to these four disciples. We'll see that it is the same message he has preached to us. The first two verses of our text tell us that Jesus went to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The time is fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe. Jesus calls to us and to all of his followers for all time has always been a call to repent and to have faith. Repent and believe. Jesus calls us through his word and leads us to repentance. That word means literally to turn around or to have a change of heart or change of mind. His word leads us to see our sins, to see the ways and times we've offended the God who loves us, who created us and died for us, the times we've sinned against him and offended him by our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And that same word then moves us to have that change of heart, to turn away from those sins. This means that we are sorry for them, and we resolve with the help of the Holy Spirit to stop doing them. But repentance also includes a turning, not just away from sin, but turning toward Jesus. Turning to him in faith, and finding in him and his great sacrifice on the cross full and complete forgiveness, free forgiveness from all those sins against God and against our neighbor that we commit every single day. It means believing that all of our sins have been nailed to that cross. They cannot condemn us anymore. From the littlest white lie that we tell to our deepest, darkest misdeed. Do you believe that? If you do, then congratulations, you are a follower of Christ. But again, let's keep one thing clear. Just like the first disciples that Jesus called here in our text, these four men, just like he was the one who made them his followers, this repentance, this calling to repentance and faith that Jesus does is entirely, completely his doing. He sought and found us. He brought us from spiritual death and took our sins upon himself by his sacrifice on the cross. He is the one who brought us to spiritual life in him. We did not decide one day to become spiritually alive and born again any more than we can decide to be born physically into this world. This was Jesus doing through his word and the Holy Spirit working in that word. In the same way, Jesus calls to us, come, follow me. That call is completely a call of his grace, his undeserved love, which he planned to do before we were even born. That's one of the ways you know it wasn't your doing. He planned to do it before you were born. In fact, we can go back even further than that. The Bible says he planned to do this before he even created the world. Paul writes in 2 Timothy, God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So, now that we know and are reminded of the fact that we are followers of Christ, how do we show it? How do we show to others that we follow Jesus? Let's look again at our text and find the answer. Notice that after Jesus preached this message of repentance and faith, after he called these four fishermen to follow him, notice what their response is. Let's read again those verses, the last verses of our sermon text from verse 18 to 20. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat mending the nets. Immediately Jesus called them. they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Notice they didn't ignore Jesus' call. Didn't put him on hold. They didn't pretend like they didn't hear him. They didn't make up excuses. Jesus, can't you see we're working right now? Maybe come back and give us this call when we have a day off. Now is not a really good time. We're trying to make a living here. This is pretty important work. They didn't put off Jesus until later. Jesus, can you come and call us to follow you when we're a bit more qualified, when we're a bit more seasoned, when we're older? I'll listen to that call when I'm older. Now our text says that Simon and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. And then James and John, they left their father in the boat with the hired servants and followed Jesus. Based on their actions, is there any question who these men were following? Is there any question when it came down to it whether these four men were more interested in being fishermen or being fishers of men? The answer is obvious, isn't it? Their actions, and then later on their words, would show they were fishers of men. They were followers of Jesus. It's obvious because of their, by God's grace, response to Jesus' call. We should be the same way. Jesus calls us to come and follow him. His call has led us to repent, to turn away from our sins, to turn to him in faith for forgiveness, to take away all those sins. And he's made us one of his followers. Now that we are his follower, he has a role for us to play. He has a job for us to do, each one of us. And he's called us to action. We are called to go out and show that we are followers of Jesus by doing what he's called us to do. And he's called us, his disciples, his followers, to go and make disciples, to make more followers of Jesus. He's called you and me to be fishers of men, fishers for other people, to bring them to Jesus, just like his first four followers. He's called us to share this message of repent and believe in the gospel. That good news of forgiveness, of life, the fullness of salvation in Jesus, our Savior. He is the one we follow. The one who lived for us, died for us, and lives again so that we can now follow him all the way to our heavenly home. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.